Praise God. Well, it's good to be here, and thank you, Pastor, for this opportunity to speak this morning. I don't take it lightly, and I know that we do have limited time, so I'm going to try and be brief, but why don't you be seated this morning? And let's open our Bibles this morning to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. Joshua 1 verse 9. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Joshua 1 and verse 9. It simply says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Amen. Let's just pray for this word this morning. Lord God, we are thankful that we can be in your house this morning. Lord God, that we can hear from you this morning. We know, as Pastor has said, that your word does not return to your void, but it will accomplish that which you desire for it to accomplish. And this morning, we open our hearts to receive from you. Oh God, search our hearts. Lord, encourage and strengthen, inspire, Lord. Just have your way within us this morning. We ask this in the wonderful and in the precious name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Joshua 1:9. You know, we pick up the story here of Joshua. And he's about to lead the children of Israel to the promised land. They've just come out of Egypt a generation earlier, and they had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And now Moses, their leader, is dead. And so now God is calling Joshua to take the reins, and God is calling Joshua to take the people of Israel into the promised land. And over this time, we know from the stories in the Bible that God performed miraculous things before the children of Israel. He took them from Egypt. And we know that he led them by a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire, and that he brought water from a rock, that he fed them with manna. Many miracles were performed. And now Joshua was about to take the helm. And you can imagine that Joshua would have felt some weight of responsibility as he steps into big shoes, Moses' shoes, the leader that God had appointed for that time. Joshua now felt that weight of responsibility upon his shoulders. And it was time for him to do what God had asked him and to finish that work that Moses began, to take the children of Israel into the promised land. Now, many times in our Christian walk, we can find ourselves living for God in what we might call an autopilot mode, where we just enjoy the fellowship of the saints. We come to church and we love to sing and we love to praise God. And sometimes we can find that when trials come our way, when circumstances change in our life, that it can knock us for six. We can realize that we're not really prepared for what God has in store. We know that everything that happens in our life, God is in control. There's nothing that happens that God is not aware of. God is always in control. And so even when circumstances come our way and it catches us off guard, we can rest assured that God sees it. God knows us. He knows where we're at. But sometimes we can find ourselves struggling. We can find ourselves burdened. And it can steal our joy. It can steal our passion for God. Because we're not prepared for the circumstances that come our way. And we can forget to encourage ourselves in the Lord and forget that God is still in control. We can go through the motions in what I would call a fearful state. And what I want to minister on this morning is simply from fear to faith. I believe God wants to take his people from a place of fear, a place of trepidation, a place of struggle, and to bring us to a place of faith in him. Yes. A place of faith. Amen. Now, many of us have probably heard of the response, the flight or fight response. This is where the body's response to stress, it releases a sudden amount of hormones, which results in a variety of physical reactions. We increase our blood pressure, our pupils dilate to allow more light in so that we can see better. Our skin becomes flushed or pale as blood is redirected from the skin to the muscles and to the brain. Our heart rate increases, our breathing increases. And sometimes we're even trembling because our muscles are preparing themselves for what is next. You may have experienced this because fight or flight, that response happens in very common situations. Sometimes it's when you're asked to give a public speech. Sometimes it happens when you hear a growling dog. You're confronted by a dog that doesn't look too friendly. Sometimes it's when you're at a height and you're looking down. If you're scared of heights, you can go into a bit of a panic and you have this fight or flight response. And sometimes when this happens, when we're faced with situations in life, it's almost like that fight or flight response kicks into our life. And suddenly we're like, what do I do, God? What am I going to do in this situation? Am I going to run or am I going to fight? And God, I believe, would have us to fight. God would have us to stand. Many times we see the circumstances and we just want to hide. We want to flee. We want to pretend it's not happening. But we've got a God who is with us and a God who is going to strengthen us. We have a God who will stand for us. And I believe God would have us to stand and to fight. Now, of course, I'm not talking about a physical fist fight. I'm not talking about that sort of thing. I'm talking about facing our circumstances boldly with God. And so God told Joshua, be strong and of good courage. And he was trying to remind him that he was going to be with him, just as he had been with Moses. He was giving him such assurance. And Joshua was acutely aware as he was preparing to take the children of Israel into the promised land. He was acutely aware that 40 years earlier, he had spied out the land. And he knew that the land was filled with giants. He knew that there were fortified cities and that the people were strong. He knew what his people were up against. And so God, four times in this chapter, said, Joshua, be strong and of good courage. And if we read in Joshua 1:1, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and this people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I will give you, as I have said to Moses. And it goes on and it says in verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. It says, I'll be with you. And God had no doubt in what he was going to achieve. God knows what is ahead of us and what he can do. But he had to convince Joshua that, Joshua, it's going to be okay. Joshua, I know it's an enormous task that I'm asking you to do, but I am before you. I will lead the way and be strong and of good courage. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread, I have given you. And he says, no man will be able to stand before you. What a promise that Joshua would have heard. And just as, you know, we've come from the youth conference, and just as we have wonderful general conferences and leadership seminars and great services, and we can leave these places inspired. Very often, when we face the giant in the world again, we face that circumstances on Monday, we can find ourselves suddenly in that fight or flight mode again. But this morning, God is telling us, be strong and of good courage. God has given them the promised land. That was never the problem. And Joshua, at the end of the day, everything that he was about to embark on rested on one thing. It rested on simply the promise of God. You know, ever since Abraham was, that promise existed. And that promise was about to be fulfilled. But Joshua didn't have an army that was full of military might. Joshua didn't have catapults. He didn't have all of this, all of these resources, but he had a promise of God. And Joshua, to take the land, still had to muster up strength. He still had to go in his flesh and go and fight the inhabitants of that land. There was still some work to be done. God wasn't just going to wipe out all the inhabitants and say, come on in. He was relying on Joshua to step out in faith. And so we read in the Bible so many stories of triumph, stories of mighty miracles, stories of boldness, of great victories. And sometimes when we read these stories, we get very encouraged. But we also fail sometimes, we fail to recognize that the people of God were in places of great distress. They were in places of suffering. It could be persecution. It could be the death of a loved one. It could be so many other things that they suffered before the victory came about. And so sometimes we need to remind ourselves that God will allow things to happen in our life. And it's not that God's turned away from us, but God will allow things to play out. And very often when we place our faith in the right place, He will move mightily in our life and He will get the victory. So sometimes we just need to remind ourselves that, yes, sometimes good things, bad things do happen to good people. Sometimes that is the case. But it doesn't mean that God is not going to work on our behalf. The Bible says, David said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Amen. And we know that when we observe the law of God and we keep it, God's blessing is promised. We've got reassurance. Generally, we can rest in God. We know that God is always going to be leading us in His ways and His paths. But as sure as, you know, you can be a driver in, on these Canberra roads and you can be the best driver, there's other drivers on this road and we have no control over the drivers on this road. And so at some point in our lives, we may come across an accident. We may come across a crazy driver. And it's then that we cry out and we say, Lord, help me. But we must recognize that God is always with us. God is always with us. Fear and faith cannot coexist together. God hasn't called us to fear. He said, I've not given you the spirit of fear. Amen. But He's given us faith. And so God has called us to walk by faith, not by sight. And Hebrews 11 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The NIV says it's confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we don't see. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And so when we come to God, let's not come to God and give our complaints to God and cry out and whinge and whine, but let's come to God with boldness. Come before His throne with boldness. Come before Him with thanksgiving. Come with faith. But what does faith look like? In our daily lives, faith, sometimes we don't really know what it is to walk by faith. But faith, it says, we are confident in God. I am an overcomer. Yes. It says that no matter what comes my way, I have peace. Yes. I'm willing to give thanks. I'm willing to give praise to God. And when it comes to the actions that we walk by and live by, it's not stressing out. It's not pacing frantically and pulling our hair out. But faith says, I'm going to be strong. I'm standing and I'm not going to be shaken. And so Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So the things we confess are very important. You know, if we're walking by faith, the things we will say are not going to be the opposite to what we want. It's going to be in a line in accordance with what God wants, and it's going to be in accordance with God's will, with having faith in our God. James 3:11 says, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? And James 2:20 says, faith without works is dead. And so we can't say that we've got faith and then walk in a walk and talk in a talk that is contrary. If we're going to have faith in God, it's going to be reflected in everything we do and everything we say. Faith without works is dead. It means our faith is not alive if it's not reflected in our actions. So faith is not just a way of believing in God, but it is a way of overcoming in God and in the circumstances of our life. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, Pastor mentioned it earlier, it instructs us on how to be strong in the Lord. And it talks about the armor of God. And there are six components: the belt of truth, there's the breastplate of righteousness, shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. And so it mentions the shield of faith is a vital part, because it says here, above all, we are to take the shield of faith. The shield of faith is not something that is just an optional extra. It's not something we wear, but it's something that will protect us. And so as part of the Christian walk, the shield of faith is a critical part. It protects us. The Bible says the devil goes about as a roaring lion. Jesus told Peter that the devil desires to sift him as wheat. And the Apostle Paul, in this scripture, he tells us that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and rulers of darkness of this world. And so we need our faith to be a part of our Christian defense. So when we have a crisis situation, the question is, how will we respond? How will we respond? It may be scary, and it may be unpleasant at the time. And sometimes when we are going through something, it's hard to be strong and of good courage. It's easy when we're outside of that circumstance. But when that circumstance hits, that's when we've got to be strong. And that's when we've got to apply faith and overcome. Maybe we have a loved one who is dying. It's hard. Maybe we realize that our job is not bringing in the money to pay the bills. It's tough. Maybe our children are rebelling against us, or our marriage is rocky. These are real, tangible experiences that we go through, and they're hard. But we always have a choice. We always have a choice to either to fight or to flight, to flee. We always have a choice to stand and to trust God, or to run the other way and pretend it's not happening. And we've got a God who is able. We've got a God who is waiting to answer our prayer and answer our cry. And so God is waiting on us to extend our faith. You know, when I think about the story of David and Goliath, we know Goliath was taunting the army of Israel for 40 days and 40 nights. And the Israelite army were afraid. And they felt like they had no one to combat this giant. And God, it seemed, was silent. Imagine, 40 days, the army was trembling, Saul didn't know what to do, and it seemed like God was nowhere to be found. But God was patiently waiting. He was waiting for someone like David, who would stand up against this giant, who would stand up in faith, and who would say, you know, you come to me with sword and spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the heavenly armies. You see, God is often waiting for us to exercise the faith that He's put in us before He will move. God is no respecter of persons, but He is a respecter of faith. You know, when Jesus walked the earth, what did Jesus do? You know, He came for the Jews first, but we know that there was a Syrophoenician woman. She was a Gentile, and she had great faith. She had great faith, and she said, you know, I have a daughter who's possessed. Please, please heal her. And Jesus said, look, I've not come for the Gentiles. And so it was when she said, even the dogs eat of the bread off the table, that he recognized her great faith and her humility. And at that point, he healed her daughter. Not because it was her time, but he extended his grace to the Gentiles before their time because of her faith. And so our faith is so important when we come across a trial and a struggle. Our faith needs to be placed in the right place. Our faith sometimes, you know, we always have faith. We always have a faith. And it's a matter of where we put it. We can put it in the giant or we can put it in the Lord. And as Christians, as children of God, the onus is on us to put it on the Lord. Because the Lord wants to come through for his people. Pastor said this morning, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth, looking for someone that he can show himself strong on behalf. He's looking for someone who has faith, someone who will stand up to their circumstance and to their giant. And so we need to be that person. Hebrews 11, it talks about the hall of faith. And in the Old Testament, we can read of so many heroes of faith. Verse 4 speaks about Abel. Verse 7 talks about Noah. Verse 8 talks about Abraham and so on and so forth. And it goes through to verse 32 where it says, and what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel, who through faith subdued kingdoms and worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weakness were made strong. You know, when we go through things, we are weak. We feel weak. But in our weakness, we can be made strong. Not because of anything we are, but because of our great God who will fight for us. And I want to touch on just quickly Gideon. Because Gideon, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Gideon teaches us that God doesn't see us how we are, but he calls us by what we can be. When we're in the midst of the trial, we don't feel strong. We don't feel like we have courage. But God sees what we can be. He sees the potential in every one of us, and he beckons us to believe, to put our faith in him. This is the key. It's putting our faith in the one who is able, the one who is stronger, the one who can move mountains. And we know the story that the Midianites were oppressing the Israelites and persecuting them. Gideon was in a wine press threshing wheat. This was a sign that he was afraid. You don't thresh wheat. In a room, you thresh wheat in the open where the breeze can blow the chaff and so on. So he was afraid. But the Lord saw him for who he could be. And we know that even Gideon, he called more than 32,000 men, but 32,000 men to fight against the Midianites. And God said, look, you don't even need 32,000 men. And he whittled that down to 300 men. But God didn't even need really 300 men. God could do what he wanted to do just through Gideon, just through one man's willingness to trust God and to put his faith in God. And so I want to encourage us this morning, whatever we're going through, whatever circumstances are coming our way, we've got a God who is able to defeat our foes, to take us out of our situation, to change our circumstance. It's his strength, not our strength, but our faith must be in him. Our faith must be in him. Hallelujah. Amen. And I just want to read a scripture as we close. The Bible says, if we faint in the day of our adversity, our strength is small. And that can sound harsh because, as I said, challenges aren't easy when they come our way. But it tells me one thing. It tells me that God doesn't expect us as his children to just fall down and to just cower in the corner when things come our way. He's raised us up to be stronger than that. We've got the Spirit of God within us. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And so when things come against us, He would expect us to be strong. And so I want to close just with this scripture, if the musicians would come. And Sister Kylie read this during the worship service. It says in verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Amen. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He, God, will hide me in His pavilion." Amen. Amen. In the time of trouble, He'll hide me in His pavilion. Amen. We have a rock. We have a rock today. And it doesn't matter what comes against us today. We can rest assured that God will fight for us. God will stand with us. God will carry us through. He will take us to the promised land. The promised land is a type of the blessings of God. It's a type of the things that God has in store for His people. Yes, He's taken us out of sin and out of Egypt, but He wants to take us into a place of blessing. And He can do that when we rest in Him and we put our faith in Him. In our trials, in our life, whatever is coming against you, I encourage you this morning, put your faith in Him. Put your faith in Him. Trust in Him. Hallelujah. We're going to sing. If you want to come and pray this morning, if you're facing a giant, if you're facing circumstances and you don't know what to do, you can come before the Lord this morning and you can put your trust in Him. You can put your faith in Him this morning. Hallelujah.